We are up to Perek. We're up to Perek Yud. We are up to Pasuk Hey. Before we do Pasuk Hey, I want to just mention one last thought on Pasuk Daled. It's a very nice remez, a nice short idea. If ruach hamoish al tala olecha mekaimcha al tanachi marpe yaniach chatoim gedolim. Okay, so we discussed yesterday many interpretations of this pasuk, the Mitzudas, Rashi, and Targum. Just one last thing I came across, the Roshei Tevas for the word Mikoimcha al Tanakh are Emes. Not in order, unfortunately, but the first letters Mem, Aleph, Tav, Emes. And the pasuk here is hinting to us, I saw this in the Sosa Bamadila, is hinting to us that a person is in trouble. Not in trouble, a person is under attack. The Ruach HaMoshel, the government, the will of the Moshel of the leading authority is coming against you, is coming upon you. If you are innocent, if you have done nothing wrong, then do not be afraid. Mekoimcha al Tanach. Emes. Stay in your good morning. The Kaim Chal Tanach. Stay, stand in your ground. What's the expression? There's an expression, but maintain your position. Stay the course. As long, of course, as your Makayim is a Makayim of Emes, because ultimately the truth will come. Will stand your ground. The truth will stand. So that's really very good. Mekayim Chal Tanach. Stand your ground. Provided that Mekayim Chal Tanach is, as it says in the pasuk, is Emes, because Emes will ultimately always prevails. Okay. Let's go down to pasuk K. Pasuk K is Yeshua. Now we go to a theme of the Yeshua Tach. Yeshua or Yisitach Hashamesh. Can Perek Yud pasuk K. Kishkaga she yotza milifnei hashalit. There's an evil that exists in this world, and this evil appears to be a mistake. It's like a shkaga that goes forth before the ruler. Now, what does this mean exactly? Let's first see the mitzudos pasuk hey. Yesh ro'o asher ro'isi tachas hashemesh. I've seen kishkaga memshelis hamoishel matzricho lasoiz pan hafech haroi. Sometimes the authority of the leader requires him to do things which are opposite, which are the opposite of what should be. Umare lo'om ki'ilu shogag b'davar asher lo'ikein hu. And he shows the people and ki'ilu shogag b'davar, as if he has made a mistake, but it's not so. He has not made a mistake. So what he's saying over here is, I'm not exactly sure this is the pshat, the way the Mitzvah learns is that sometimes a government has to do things which appear to be foolish in order to achieve a goal. Chazal say that the complexities of the Malchus are overwhelming. There's an expression, Pirkei Avos. Does anyone remember the expression? The Rishus. A person should distance himself from the rishus, from the government. If you would want to write about the complexities of the government, even if all of the trees would be quills and all of the seas would be ink and all of the heavens would be parchment, it would be impossible to put into writing the complexities of what are going on in the world of politics. That's referring similar to politics. Okay, that is what I think it says in Pirkei Avos, this Mishnah in Chazal.
Yeah, so that particular pasuk doesn't sound familiar.
Okay, but so this idea is seemingly what the Mitzudas is trying to tie into this pasuk, that sometimes that the Moishel, he wants to accomplish a certain mission, he wants to accomplish something in the government, but if he'll put the law into effect in the simplest way, it will not be accepted. So he has to work through back channels, like you can't negotiate with terrorists. But we all know, now that the United States has released classified documents going back 100 years, we all know that the United States all the time negotiates with terrorists. It's publicly we don't negotiate with terrorists, but privately, underneath, behind the scenes, of course there's negotiations going on between various countries and different people that you would not want to get involved with, but just not publicly. So that's really what it's saying up here, is that kishkagosh shiyotza melefnei ha-shalit. It has to be done. Unfortunately, in this world, there are evils that are done. There are things that need to be done that it appears to be an accident. The government never meant, the shalit never would have openly been willing to do bring forth, to execute a certain law or decree. And even though it's a fact that the government, is the shalit, is responsible for the outcome of what has happened, the shalit has done it in a way where he can say, he can cleverly say, it was an accident. It wasn't my doing. I distanced myself from all wrongdoing. And we all know these novels and these mystery novels, is that you are special ops. If you get caught, Mission Impossible. Isn't that how every Mission Impossible began? Exactly.
It's about your knowledge.
Your knowledge that if you will be caught, we will disavow any knowledge, that any connection. We have nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. So that's similarly what the Mitzudas is saying over here. It's an interesting Pshalom. I'm reading the Mitzudas again one more time. Mamsheles Hamoishal, the authority of the leader. Matzrichoi, his authority, Matzrichoi, he has a requirement at times, la'asos pa'amim hafoi choroi, something which is the opposite of what is fitting to do. He cannot go publicly and announce, this is what I am doing. It's not accepted in society. Umare la'am, and now when it comes out, when it is revealed that the mission has been accomplished, and people will attribute, how did this happen? It must have been that the government, the shalit, is the one that is responsible for this happening. The shalit can deny any knowledge. He can basically say that if it happened, it was an accident. It was not done with my will. Umare la'om ki'ilu shogad badovar asher lo kein hu, and it's not so. It was not an accident. The truth was, he really did it. This is what he is calling in this world a yesh ra'ah. This is evil. This appears to be something which is not, it's a crookedness that is necessary in this world. There's an evil that is necessary in order for the world to survive. Things have to be done through back channels that cannot be done in public. Let's see how Rashi learns.
You're calling it an evil, but
it's not MS,
yeah. The example you described was, sounds more like a necessary evil.
It's a necessary evil. That is evil. So the goal is noble. The goal is
justified.
But the society, it's the means. I don't know if it's the means, but we understand what this means. Like, let's say you want to go negotiate with a country, the United States. We want to negotiate with terrorists. The example that we started with, you don't negotiate with terrorists. But we all know as a fact that behind the scenes there is negotiations going on. Money is being transferred. Things are happening in order to try to solve a problem in a way that's not acceptable in the public. But if you can get the job done secretly behind the scenes, it's acceptable. Later,
what exactly is the evil then? It's
because that's not MS. That's not MS.
That's
MS is
Malva, yeah. Malva makes a very interesting vehicle. But he says it's astrological mazel for that person. This is what his fate is, and God doesn't step in to change it unless he's a special person. The normal average person, God doesn't do anything to change his mazel. But when bad things happen to him, even if he's a tzaddik, you're thinking it's the local government that did something to him, when in fact the king had nothing to do with it. This was his mazel from the mazolos. That was it. And God doesn't do it.
It's a different interpretation.
Yeah. So yesh ra'ah, bad things happen to good people, he says.
Yes.
And that's the mazel. Has nothing to do with politics.
Okay, so... But
we think it does, but it doesn't.
Okay, so that's a different approach. That's a different interpretation, yeah. That's the Malm's approach.
Explain sort of like what you're saying, yesh ra'ah.
Right. Right.
Nobody is doing it. God is doing it.
Okay, but I'm just trying to understand what the Mitzvah says. The Mitzvah seems to be saying something different. The Mitzvah, we've noticed very often here in Kohelis, he says things, his perushim and the psukim, that are very offbeat. They're not the simple reading of the pasuk. When you hear the pasuk in shul, on sukkos, you don't assume that's the translation of the pasuk. When we look at the Mitzvot, he has a very different approach. He seems to be saying over here is that the government, the Moishel, at times has to do things. If he would publicly make an announcement and publicly make it known what he's trying to do, he would be removed from office. This is not acceptable. This is not popular opinion. That the Hamoinam did not vote you into office in order that you should follow this policy. But the Moishel came to the realization that this has to be done. This is the way it has to be done. And it's good for the country, and it's good for his political career as well, but the way I'm going to do it is not going to be with public knowledge. It's going to be in a roundabout way where I can deny any knowledge of any involvement in this, because I know from my understanding that this will ultimately be for the benefit of the country and the benefit of my own political career. I know someone who met with President Bush. He was part of this a couple of years ago. He went with the OU to on a delegation to meet with Bush W. And they met in the Oval Office. There was a delegation of about 10 people from the OU. He was one of them. And Bush told them that what you hear in the news, what you hear, what you read online and hear in the news, you read in the papers, is only 10% of what's really going on behind the scenes. The intelligence reports that he receives every single day, things that are going on in the world which are classified and you have no clue, is changes everything, that every decision that he has to make affecting everything in the world. So you read about in the newspapers and you question why did president do this, why did he do that, you really don't know what is going on behind the scenes. And
right.
That's what, yeah. So and this is what the according to the Mitzvot we are calling our Ra'ah. It's evil. Because it's very unfulfilling. It's very painful to read the newspaper and see that the people that you have elected into office are doing things which are 100% against our understanding. And if we only knew what's really going behind the scenes, it's very likely, not all the time, you can't generalize, but many situations you would give them your full support. I elected you to be my politician, my leader. What? Okay, I'm not saying you can't generalize. You can't jump, but you don't know. You really don't know.
Behind the scenes is worse than what you see.
You really don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Okay, the Iran is one thing for sure. We don't know is the deal with Iran. Is it a good deal or a bad deal? So you read online, you get the picture that 95% of the people in our community feel that it is poison. It is poison to make an arrangement. But one thing is for sure, there's a lot more going on behind the scenes than we know. I think that is a certain. There are things that we do not know about. If there's such, we don't know about. It could very well be that if we didn't know about it, we would still, we could be even more disappointed. That is correct. But you know, we don't know what's going on. We really do not know. Look, there are some people, they're very shocking. There are some people, there's a 5%. You read all the articles. There are people that come forward and they say, you know, it's not such a bad idea what's going on. Do we really know what's going on? We don't know the facts. That's the problem. We don't exactly know. But this, that a leader, a Moshel, has to conduct himself in a way that his actions are not understood by his people and has to come out and say, Kishgaga, Shiyotza, Melefe HaShalit. It was an accident. I never really meant to do this. It just happened to be that someone on his own, there was a lone soldier that happened to do something, whatever the situation is, it's not my responsibility. And the truth is, of course it was your responsibility. It was done through your authority. This is called a ra'ah that exists in this world. We live in a complicated world, and that's how the Mitzvot appears to translate the pasuk. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, Kishkagosh Shiyotza Mufnei HaShalit, Doimuhu LeShalit, Shohitzi Dov HaShkaga Mipiv. It appears to be as if a shalit, he has issued made a mistake, Mipiv Shayeg, V'Iev Shal LaChazor, and he can no longer retract. Kach Amra HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kein Oimer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Ein LaHashuv HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he issues a command, It's not really clear what Rashi over here is saying. Probably if we will, I don't see all the Midrashim, look at the Midrashim, probably Rashi is drawing from the Midrash, will be clear what Rashi really means. But there are things that Kadosh Baruch Hu does, Hashem puts into motion a plan, and the plan cannot be undone. I think a classic example to understand this is the Megillas Esther. Now that's not dealing with the Melech Malachi Amlochim, but that's dealing with Ahasuerus. When Mordechai and Esther revealed that Haman was a fraud, And Ahasuerus was willing to reverse the decree, Ahasuerus told Esther, there's nothing we can possibly do. Once the pasuk, what does it say in the pasuk? He ain't, once the letter, the... Ain't la shiv. Once the issue, the decree has been sent forth, that decree cannot be undone. That is the way the government is set up. That's part of the constitution. That's the law. The best thing that we can possibly do is we can issue another decree where we give the Jewish people the right to defend themselves. So we can make new laws to counteract the old laws. But the original law cannot be undone. Sometimes the law, so according to Rashi, what Rashi seems to be saying is sometimes the king, he signs a legislation into law, and then he realizes this is a disaster. This decree, this edict, this proclamation is a disaster, but there's nothing I can possibly do. That's the way the government has been set up. Once something goes into effect, you cannot reverse it. And kishkogosh sheyotza melefnei hashalit. And Shlomo Melech is saying that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to some degree, that's the way things are also. That's what Rashi says. I have to know, we know that if the koyach of tshuva, u'sheshuva, u'sfilu tztaka, ma'avir nisroya ha'gezera, but to some degree, once something is put into effect, it cannot be done. We mentioned a couple of times this concept, ma'avirin. Ma'avirin means that of Kodesh Baruch Hu puts into motion a decree of poverty, of wealth, of life or death. It also cannot be undone. The best that can be done is it can be transferred to someone else. The classic example is if it was decreed that this year it's not going to rain very much. There's only going to be a total of 1 inch of rain the entire year. So if we leave it to Mazel, it'll rain during the worst. That 1 inch of rain will rain in a forest where no one will derive benefit, and will rain at a time when no one will derive benefit. But if we merit, u'seshuva u'sfilu u'tzedaka, then that 1 inch of rain that was meant to come down will come down at a time when it is ideal, when society will gain the most benefit, in a location where society will gain a great benefit. And if, let's say the other way around, it was meant to be, there should be a year of plenty, it should rain 20, 30 inches of rain, and then Klal Yisrael is not with the program, they're not Isim Mitzvah Yisrael, even the Shef of Bracha will be directed for waste. Look at the government. Look how many times we've been in the news that the government spent $1 billion on what? On Narishkeit, on Dvarim B'Telem, to build a bridge, go nowhere. Had we been Zoicha, that money came, $1 billion. Can you imagine what it could do for Jewish education? Can you imagine what it could do for infrastructure? You can go build a bridge, another Brooklyn Bridge. You can do something for society. Money goes, billions and trillions of dollars goes to waste. Why? Because we're not Zoicha. The money is there, it's just been spent on the wrong purpose. So that's what it means, Ma'avirin. The Bracha is there, it's just transfer to a location of waste, or even if there's a small amount of bracha, that also can be ma'avin, can be transferred to a place of bracha. So here he's saying as well that Hashem issues a decree, the decree cannot be undone. It's like, and even though it turns out that it was a mistake, thing the situation, the facts on the ground have changed. Rashi is learning pshat in the pasuk that malchusa de ara kein malchusa de rakia, and just like malchusa de ara, an earthly kingdom, once a law is passed, it cannot be undone. So too, a decree of a Kodesh Baruch Hu to some degree cannot be undone. And it appears that even when the facts on the ground have changed, and it appears that we're being punished unjustly, it's too bad. That's the way it is. It's like the case of Kishkogosh Sheyotza Melefnei Hashalit. This appears to be the interpretation of Rashi. Obviously, not what. That's the possibility. Ein lahashif. Ein lahashif. Very, very. Yeah.
Zayir have come upon Israel.
which transferred on the Umus HaOlam.
No, that was transferred Chas Tachatat.
Okay, that's what the Chassam Zohar says. Okay, you need to be a Ruach HaKodesh to say stuff like that. Okay, that's it. That was meant to come on who?
On
it came on Tach, Tach, Tach.
Yeah, that's right. And he tightens up. Yeah.
Tach Chmelnitsky. All right, that's quite a shocking thing to say.
Even
Chas. Okay, let's see over here the Targum. Targum Pasik, Pasik Hey. Is Bishto de Chazes be'ol mehodein techol shimsha. Okay, I've seen in this world a very great evil. Umehan zeko be'olmo, and it wreaks havoc in the world. What is this? It's kipiskam law dishalusa. It's like a piskam, a law that is a mistake. The nafka that comes forth mehach tsefar quickly. That comes forth mahachzef, and I take it back that quickly with mahachzef and the kashyos, which with difficulty. I'm not sure what that word means. Could be, yeah, with chutzpah al gurva min kodam shulta, which comes with chutzpah by mistake, which comes with chutzpah kishkaga. He's eating a word here. The nafka mehachzef, maybe with chutzpah. He would translate it in Hebrew over here as be. Bikushyos. Not sure I'm reading this right. With koshi, with intensity. With intensity, al ho'ish, before the shalid, from before the ruler. So the Targum is not really saying that much. Okay, he's not elaborating that much on the meaning of the pasuk. Okay, now before we go further, the Sirasi Bamedinos, his main bulk of drush on this pasuk is to bring out that this pasuk is the shoresh of the concept of al tiftach peh lasata. We all know that a person should never say things about himself that he would never want to happen, because there's such a concept of al tiftach. That when the koyach hadibur, the koyach hadibur has enormous power, and that is the shkoga shiyotza milufnei hashem the shalid. Now, it means as follows: it means when more person. The classic example is, let's give one classic example of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, he said that Lavan chased after Yaakov and demanded, "Why did you steal my teraphim? Why did you steal my idols? I use these trophim, whatever they're called, these trophim to use to see the future, to predict the future, to bet on horses. And you stole them. How dare you?" Yaakov was enraged. How dare you accuse me of stealing your trophim? No one in my family would dare do that. And in fact, to prove my point, anyone, the one who stole the trophim, should die. And Yaakov Avinu only made that statement because he sincerely believed no one in his family would dare do so. Little did he realize that Rachel took the teraphim and hid them and lied upon them, and his curse was fulfilled. Now, technically speaking, the curse should not be fulfilled. Dvarim shebelev einim dvarim. This was a total mistake. He never had the knowledge to that the statement should have any validity whatsoever. Yet the answer is kimlas chacham alfilu al tanai ba. That's a similar concept to the idea of al tiftach pel l'satan. That if a holy person words come out of the mouth of a holy person, even though it was done with a condition and the condition has not been fulfilled, or even if it was done by mistake, it doesn't matter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the words of a tzaddik very seriously, and the words come to fulfillment, to fruition, and things happen. The way he explains it is, it's no different if a person is holding an axe and he's chopping with the axe. Even though I have no kavana, I don't want to cut the wood. I don't realize what I'm doing. It's a total mistake. Had I known that this is my fruit tree or whatever this tree has value, I would not cut this tree. It doesn't matter. A physical action has consequences. If you pick up an axe and you chop a piece of wood, the wood is going to be cut, whether you like it or not. It doesn't make a difference if you are sleepwalking. You're hypnotized, and your mind is completely not with you. If you do something physical, there will be a change. A tzaddik The same principle applies to the words of a tzaddik. The words, the dibur that comes forth of the mouth of a tzaddik have an effect whether he likes it or not. And that's why when Yaakov Avinu issued a curse, it came true. Rachel died because of his curse. That's why we have the principle of tiftach peh l'sadik. A person says something, your words have power, and in Shemayim they're going to take those words seriously. It's going to come true. We go to a tzaddik to receive a bracha. If the tzaddik says the person should be blessed, he'll be blessed. That's the way it's going to be. Tzaddikim, real tzaddikim, they're very careful with their words. They don't just give brachas. They're very precise. I know Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, so he says Bohu. Bohu means Baruch v'Hatzlacha. He doesn't even see there are such long lines of people coming to ask him for a bracha. So people come, so he can't even have doesn't have enough time to say Baruch v'Hatzlacha. So he invented a new word, Bohu, Baruch v'Hatzbuha, Buha, Rosh Tevos, Baruch v'Hatzlacha. Hatzlacha. Buha. So someone said to him, Vuva. Responded. Chaim Knesset says a true story. This is an older person. He said to him, Buha, and the person says, Vuva. So someone said, what did you say to Chaim Kanievsky? Vuva. He said, Uva. Amen ve'amen. So I have to figure out. Amen Aleph. Amen ve'amen. Uva. Amen ve'amen. Whatever. Something along that line. So he was playing around over there. Okay. But the words of a tzaddik, al tiftach peh l'satan, and that's.
Maran Kedushin has this thought about being Mafresh Truma, you could do it in your mind.
Okay, so that's the question. The question is that when it comes to this idea,
depends on the situation.
Okay, so this is what Chazal read into this pasuk. Yeshua Ristachas Hashemesh Kishkaga Sheyotzam Lefnei Hashalit. Just like a ruler, if a king, he says, give the command that so and so should be put to death or so and so should be rich, it does not make a difference what the person was thinking. Dvarim Shebleivim Dvarim. The servants of the king, they bring forth, they fulfill the will of the king. Likewise, there's a mitzvah in this world of a shalit, a person who is a ruler over his yetzer hara, a tzaddik. If words come forth from his mouth, even though he had no kavan that these words should be fulfilled, it doesn't matter. This is the mitzias of this world. It works. But of course, it only works for a person whose words count. His words are measured. If his words are not measured, then he can say all he wants, nothing's going to happen. And then we're going to give an example of Hebrew later on. It's no different than an axe. If an axe is not sharp, you can take the axe and you try to chop wood the whole day, nothing is going to happen. If the axe, the tip of the axe, the blade is sharp, then just touching the tree will cause the tree, the wood, to break. Likewise, the person's tongue is sharp. Why is his tongue sharp? He did not abuse his tongue to speak lashon hara or things which are forbidden. He only uses koyach hadibur for holy things. Then his mouth is sharp. If his mouth is sharp, even if by mistake he says something that he had known that not meant to be, it does not matter. It's kishkaga sheyotza milifnei hashalit. His words will come true whether he likes it or not, and this is a ra'ah because in many times it's not exactly what he meant. Chachamim hizaru b'divreichem, Chazal say. Be careful.
I heard a story, probably a true story, about somebody who, Chofetz Chaim, one time he went to the mikveh and apparently he was older and he fainted, and one of the bachurim
pulled
him out and revived him outside. And when we walk up, he says, I was just letting this in the cure.
And he lived to 100 years old.
The Salas, he says, bin gesund. And the guy supposedly was walking around, and he was 97, walking around.
Three more years.
Everybody else, like a young guy, and he said, I have three more years.
Three more years, yeah. There are many stories like this, where people get...
And
the Gra.
Is it 120?
There was a mice with the Gra also. The Gra didn't have water for Natilas Yadayim once. And the child went and brought him, he went to the well, brought him water. And the Gra was grateful to the child, and he said to me, Shavarichas Yomim. And Kachava, he lived an unusual number of years. The Gra, Vilnagoyen. So there are many stories like this with different tzaddikim, words that come from their mouth, even if it's without Kavana, do indeed come true. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go further. Let's see. Let's go further. Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Nitan Hasech. Now, this is the Ra'ah. Okay, according to some of the commentators, we already discussed the Ra'ah. This is a dilemma between the commentators. Is the Pasuk Vav a continuation of Pasuk He, or is Pasuk Vav an independent statement? According to what we've learned, according to the Mitzudos, and according to Rashi, and according to the Targum, really, seem according to all three, we don't really need to come up to Pasuk Vav. Pasuk He already has taught us what the Ra is. The Ra is that there's something called the Shkaga Sheyotza Milifnei Hashalat. That's the Ra. That itself is self-defined. However, on another very simple level, you can say that Pasuk Vav is going to be the Ra. And what is the Ra? Nitan Hasechel Bamaroimim Rabim. Foolishness is elevated. Hollywood foolishness is put on the highest pedestal. That's where all the money goes, and that's where all everyone's attention, everyone's attention focuses on foolishness. Vashirim, and wealthy people, yet Vashefel Yeshevu, the wealthy people, the people who assuming over here are Chacham, doesn't say they're Chachamim, they sit low down on the ground. Mitzudas Pasuk Vav. Nita Nasechel. Sechel is the foolishness. The sechel is the fool. Well, the fool. V'zehu hakesil. This fool, nitan b'mekaymas kevayim, mekaymash ein roi lo, is in places that he does not belong. There are foolish people that are occupying positions of power and authority. V'hu ashirim. What does it mean? The ashirim means people that are wealthy who work very, very hard. We're assuming the ashirim over here is used in the positive forms. Many times in Kohelet, the word an ashir is not a positive word. It's referring to people that have their priorities in the wrong place. But here it means a person who has worked very hard, has earned his wealth. Haru'uyim l'chavod, who are deserving of kavod, yeshu b'mokam shefel v'nomach shef of noch in a low place. V'zeu nir kilu b'shkoga nesa. The Targ, okay, the Mitzudas here says that this goes back to the previous passage. This was a mistake. Avaloi keinu. This appears to be a very big, this is just an example. This is an example of somebody HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a need, has a desire that this should be. Hashem has a purpose. Why the foolish person should be in charge, and why the usher should be in the low position, to an observer who does not see the big picture, this appears to be a very big mistake. Look at the classic example, the Balei Mussar. You come to Beis HaKnesses in the middle of the year, and who gets shlishi? They give the joker, the guy who's sitting and talking during davening, he's getting shlishi. And the rabbi, or the Talmidei Chachamim, they don't get any aliyas, they don't get anything. So the person, what kind of crazy shul is this? You come over here and the chashuvim, the people who are chashuvim, they don't get any kibudim, and they're giving kibudim in the Beis HaKnesses to the people who appear to do not deserve. So you come to the guy and you tell the guy, what's going on? The guy says, you shaita, you come over here on a Monday, in the middle of the year, if you would come on Shabbos, you would come on Rosh Hashanah, you would come on Yom Kippur, and you would see the big picture. There's a Seder that we give. There are times in the year when we are mechabed, the people that are deserving of kavod, what they get what they're supposed to get, but we have to give these people a chance also. So we give them at a time when it's not so honorable to receive a kibbutz. So too, when you come and you just see in your life a slice of time in an event, and you see things, you see the usher is Yoshev Reish, the seal is Yoshev Reish, and the usher is Lamata, it appears to be a very big mistake. That's because we don't see the big picture. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Vav, Nita Nasechel Bamarainim Rabim, Zohi Hora'ah. This is the Rashi also comes back and explains what exactly is the Ra'ah. He's elaborating connection. Shehi Kishkaga Sheyotza Milufnei Hashalit. What is the Rashi? Nita Hashtus, foolishness. The Horesha. Okay, that is a very scary word because this is not what it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk talks about foolishness. Rashi very often associates that if a person is a fool, a fool will automatically become wicked. The two are synonymous. Foolishness and wickedness, b'mereme gavoa, in the highest places. Shehigviyam HaKadosh Baruch Hu es hakesilim v'es horishoim, and that Hashem has elevated to the highest degree the foolish people and the wicked people. And here Shlomo, Rashi elaborates, Shlomo is speaking, Shlomo wrote this, Shani Royeh, Beruach HaKadosh, Shlomo says, I see with Ruach HaKodesh, Sheheim Asidim Lifshoit Yad Beheicholoi, to extend their hand and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. V'losum ososum osos, and to do wondrous things. Osir means like a moifes, so wondrous things, and the wondrous thing that they're going to do is they're going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They're going to erect a church, a mosque, the Crusades, what's going on today, when they sit over here in Shlomo HaMelech, these are the Kisilim, these are the wicked people, foolish people, and they are sitting, b'meroyme, they're sitting in the most exalted place of the world. What does that mean over here, according to the parish, according to Rashi, according to the Medrash, b'meroymim rabim, it doesn't mean authority, it means location in the world. The Har Habayis is the Meroimim Rabim, and who's sitting there now? A mask. There's a mask there. Who's the mask? Yishmael. He doesn't belong to be there. And the Ashirim, Klal Yisrael, who have worked, they're Ashirim, they're wealthy, meaning they're spiritually wealthy. They have earned their right to the Beis Hamikdash. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Shvatim, history, where are they? Bashefel Yeshevu, they're on the defense. They are sitting in low places. Rashi, Bashirim, Bashirim, Bashefel Yeshevu, Yisrael, Shekol HaGidul V'HaKavod Sheyesh Lohem Achshav V'Yimei B'Yomai, all of the greatness and the honor which they had in my lifetime, in Shlomo Melech's lifetime. Asidim Leishev Bashefel Nelo Pleit Shenemar in Eiv Yeshvu Enecha Yeshvu Lo'aretz Yidmu, sit down on the earth and be silent. Okay, let's take a look over here at the Mitzudos Targum Pasek Vav. The Sanhedrin, they were taken out. That's another way with the Targum. The Targum Alus, yeah. To the Sanhedrin, so they were lower down. They were lower down. That's what he did to them. That's what Nebuchadnezzar did. That you violated, you matter the Shavuah of Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu took an oath that he would not reveal that I eat Eiver Min HaChai, that I eat a live rabbit. And the only way she investigated, the only way a person can be matter neder is by going to the Sanhedrin and asking them for and be matter. So you, the Sanhedrin, are partners with Tzidkiyahu in him being matter the neder. And therefore, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to remove you from your position. Position of authority. You're going to be from the Haragazis. You're going to be. It means more. Means you would. He demoted them. He removed their authority as a punishment for participating in the Hatara of the Shavua of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. Yeah.
There's also the statement of Olam Hafuch Ra'isi.
Olam Hafuch Ra'isi.
Yeah.
Elyonim Lamala V'Tachtayim Lamata.
It's a worse.
Everything is this world. Everything is olam hafach. And Echanami, based on this pasuk, elaborates on that theme. Let's see the targum. Targum Yahav Hashem Yos Malka Rashiya. The targum here is really this very similar to what Rashi said over here. Who are the foolish people, the wicked people? These are the umois ha'olam. Yahav Hashem. Hashem has granted Yos Malka Rashiya. The evil Melech, referring to Nebuchadnezzar, referring to Edoim, referring to all of the Caesars, the Shatya, and the fools, Lim Hevei Bori B'Mazolei, to be successful. The wicked people have a very healthy mazel. They're very successful. U'mishamesh be'atzlachusa. They succeed. They operate in this world with great success. Min Shemei Meroima, with from heaven. Heaven grants them success. Vichayolosohi. Now here he's adding in some very interesting ideas. Gave sonin visagiim. Their armies are arrogant and numerous. The armies of the umos ha'olam, part of their success, behave with incredible arrogance and are numerous. I mean, this really fits very well into the Nazis. The Nazis, the Germany, was no one worse than them in their conduct and how they mocked their victims. The Alma Beis Yisrael mishtabdin tichosohi, and the nation of the Jewish people, they were subjugated beneath them. Bigolusa, in Golos. So here he's coming to say some very interesting ideas. This is because of their great sins. The reason why this has come about is because Klal Yisrael is guilty, because they have accumulated, because of their great sins. Atirei, the rich people, nichsin nis maskinin, they're assets diminished are diminished. Uvema ki kuchsa in lowliness yosvin beinei amemaya, they sit among the nations of the world. So the Targum here is explaining to us what is that we're dealing with. What?
Well,
they dwell among the nations of the world. So Targum here is relating to us that this is similar to what Rashi. It's not exactly, but he's just bringing up more details that due to our sins, that is why we have been, the roles have been reversed. The Umos only doesn't talk about Yerushalayim. He just talks about the Mazel. He talks about their mazel. He talks about bamiroimim rabim. Does not mean positions of authority. It does not mean the har habayis. It means bamiroimim rabim means success. It means good mazel. Good mazel, good success, powerful armies, arrogant armies, v'ashirim, the wealthy, it means that tzaddikim, b'sheful yeshevu, their wealth has been diminished, and they sit among the umos ha'olam in a state of lowliness, shiflus. Okay, so these are the three mahalchim, Mitzudos, Rashi, and the Targum. We're dealing just with general description of foolish people. The Targum did not, the Mitzudos notice, did not say the word wicked. Do you notice that? That's a very big difference between the Targum and the Mitzudos, with the Rashi. The Mitzudos did not use the word wicked. He said that there are foolish people in positions of leadership. Okay, there are foolish politicians out there. Can you imagine such a thing? Is it shaykh? Is it shaykh such a thing that there can be a foolish politician who has control over what happens in this world? That's what the Mitzudas, how we learn Shah Napasnik. The Rashi is a little bit more tough. Rashi says dealing with not just foolish, wicked. The difference between being a fool and being wicked. Wicked people, and they're shaylit on the Beis HaMikdash, on all of the blessing of Shlomo HaMelech, which really comes to Klal Yisrael through the Zechus of the Avos. According to the Targum, we're dealing with the mazel of the Umos Solom. They're very successful. And our mazel has been overturned. Our mazel due to our sins, and therefore we live in Golos among the Umos Olam. Different, very, they're all similar, these ideas, but the nuances of each approach is a little bit different. Okay, I saw some interesting things over here in the Saras Bavadinois. First of all, the word Bashefel is Rosh Tevos. The word Bashefel is Rosh Tevos Bischar Leket Shikcha Upeya. Okay, you like that one? Who says this? The Chidah. Okay, we don't always say Rosh Tevos, but the Chidah is in the class by himself. And the Chidah says it's Rosh Tevos Bashefel Bischar, it's not in order, Leket Shikcha Upeya. And it's teaching you that Ashirim are always bothered, they're always on edge, they're paranoid that what will be tomorrow, I may lose my wealth. Just because today I'm successful, I have money in the bank, who knows what will come tomorrow. If you want to maintain your wealth, you want to remain yeshev, you want to sit secure in a state of ashiris, ashirim, the rich, in the zuchus, bizuchus, of giving leket shikha upeya yeshevu, they will maintain, they will hold on to their wealth. Beautiful interpretation from the chida. Okay, another idea. What? It's his style, right? That's what Rokeach is saying. Okay, this is a chida. Okay, the chida and the Rokeach, they have similar styles to some degree. Okay,
that's if someone owns a field.
Okay, but it means general. So it means giving stock. A person is a wealthy person. You want to maintain. The Chazal say that like salt. You want to preserve your wealth. You give tzedakah. Stock is salt. And maybe the many memory Chazal. Just here's another another Chazal you can add to your collection. Okay, there's another idea. Another idea from the Maloi Ha'omer. You gave me once to say for the Maloi Ha'omer, so he quotes that over here, very nice. He quotes another idea that this pasuk refers to the Maisa of Yeravam ben Nevat and Rechavam. We know that Rechavam at one point in time controlled the entire Klal Yisrael, the son of Shlomo HaMelech, all 12 Shvatim. Rechavam did not have good advisors. They told him that you should get tough with the people. People were complaining, and Yeruvim ben Nevat from Shevet Ephraim rebelled. He took with him 10 Shvatim, broke up Klal Yisrael into two parts, Malchei Yehuda versus Malchei Malchus Yisrael. And he took with them 10 Shvatim. Now, that alone would not have been so bad. Had there been a split, okay, there's a split, family feud. If they would still have all come to Yerushalayim, to the Sholosh Pam Bashana Yeroko Zhuchas Pnei Hashem Elokecha, it wouldn't be so bad. So there would be a split, two different kings. If they would at least unify on three times in the Beis Hamikdash, not so bad. But Yerubim ben Nevat realized, was willing, it's what appears, to go to the Beis Hamikdash to meet up with his counterpart, with Rechavam. But he realized that when they go to the Har HaBayis, only Rechavam will be allowed to sit at Hakel, to sit in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Azara, because we have a tradition, Ein Yeshiva El Lamalchei Beis David Bilvod. And Yeravam said, if I'm going to go to Har HaBayis Sholosh Pam Hashanu, I'll go for Hakel, I'm not allowed to sit. The Kanoim, the Charedim, they'll throw me out. They're not going to let me sit down in the Har HaBayis, because I'm not from the, even though I'm a Melech, he was anointed by Achia Hashiloini. He had there was some degree of legitimacy. You can't say he was totally legitimate. There was some degree of legitimacy in his Malchus, but you're not allowed to sit. So I'm going to be embarrassed. Rechavam's going to stand. I'm going to sit. Rechavam's going to sit. I'm going to stand. People are going to watch. The media is going to click away on their cameras. They're going to post the pictures, and they're going to see that who's the real king. Will the real king please stand up? Well, I'm saying, right, the real king is the one that's sitting. So the real king, they're going to see who the real king, and this is going to be a pegiah in the kvod of my malchus, and it's a recipe for disaster. So he went. He did the most bizarre thing. He made his own Beis HaMikdash. Basel and Don, Agolim, the slippery slope, one thing led to another. Before you turned around, they were worshipping idols. Terrible, terrible tragedy. So it says over here, that's exactly the Pasuk alludes to, Vashirim. Now, so between these, now here's the point that the Lama makes. I think he's basing this on a Medrash. It's not his own, not only on his ideas. He's explaining, he's really elaborating upon other ideas. Who in Klal Yisrael, from these two kings, which king was the Oshir and which was the Ani? Yeravam was the Asher. He had 10 Shvatim. Okay, he had ten Shvatim, while Rechavam only had 2 Shvatim. Taxes, all about money. Who collected more taxes? No question about it. Yeravam ben Nevat. Rechavam only had 2 Shvatim to collect taxes from. So the Ashirim. So here, Nitan HaSechel, Bamirayim Ram. So here he's saying that the Sechel, the foolish one, who we're calling here Yeravam, we're calling him the fool, we're calling him here really the wicked one. He was a fool for what he did to Klal Yisrael, a foolish, wicked act by splitting off the 10 Shvatim. Bamirayim Rabim, he is now in a state of greatness. He is elevated. The whole Klal Yisrael is flocking to him, or the majority. The Ashirim. That's also Yeravam ben Nevat. Let me actually, because I'm getting it mixed up. Let me read it. What it says over here, word for word. Ashirim he malchus beis David. Zeh Ashirim malchus beis David. Shalahem hoysa yaasa hamalucha. Malchus beis David were once upon a time the Ashirim, no longer. Came malchus beis David. Shalahem hoysa yaasa was fitting hamalucha. Lechein es alu biyosem lechem yeshiv azara. Bashefel yeshevu, they became diminished. So the people here, okay, let's just quote the end of the pasuk. Those who were once Ashirim, Malchus Beis David, now Bashefel is all alone. Yeshevu sits. He sits in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Azara, in a state of Shefel, of lowliness. Because everyone has abandoned. But the point that Eloi Omer is making is, it's the reason why he is Bashefel is because of the reality, the Metzias of Yeshevu. The difference between sitting and standing is what caused the osher to be in a state of shefel. Okay, that's a little bit loaded. There's a lot going on in these. The acknowledgement that Yeravam ben Nevat would have to stand and Rechavam would sit. This concept of Yeshevu is what has caused the Osher, the one who really deserves the Malchus based of it, to now be in a state of Shefel due to the Melchama, or due to the rebellion of the Sechel, which we're referring to Yeravam ben Nevat, what he has done. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Zayin. Re'isi avodim al susim v'sarim holchim b'kavodim al aretz. I've seen slaves riding upon horses and princes walking like slaves on the earth. Mitsudos David, pasuk Zayin. Al susim, I've seen them roichim riding al susim masha'ein roilohem. They do not deserve. A slave does not deserve to ride on a horse. Ka'avodim, like slaves, kimo shiroi lavodim, and I've seen that the sodom, they're walking like slaves al aretz holchim b'raglem al aretz upon the earth. The answer is, in ancient times, a horse was not what it is today. In ancient times, the only one who rode horses were people of nobility. The average man rode a donkey or a camel. He would ride upon a donkey. A donkey was really used to carry your packages. He would ride upon a camel. A horse. That's like driving a Mercedes. It's a statement. If you're riding a horse, status symbol. It's not something which maybe was even illegal. Just like if a common man was seen riding a horse, that you're a murder b'malchus. What right do you have to ride a horse? That's like a government vehicle. What right do you have to ride around in
the? It's like the laws in Islamic countries where a Jew was not allowed to ride on a horse because he might be taller than.
Be taller. Okay, but it's more than that. A horse is a symbol of malchus
aristocracy.
And therefore I've seen over here slaves. It's the slaves that are riding on the horses, and it's the sodim that are walking on the ground. There's a lot more going on here. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Zayin. So Rashi right away jumps into the Medrash. Rashi is continuing the theme of the previous pasuk. Who are the slaves? These are the kasdim. Reisi avodim al susim kasdim. Haim, referring to the kasdim. Kasdim are part of the Babylonians.
Yeah.
They're really two different parts of the bubble. They were the kasdim and they were the Babloim. The Babloim, they're not the same. They were two different. They were similar but not the same. The Kasdim Haim Shinemar Bohem Zehoom Lo Hoya. This is a nation that should not exist. They don't deserve to exist, such a nation. Every nation at least has its own contribution to society. The Kasdim stole everything from other countries. They don't have their own language, they don't have their own culture. Everything that they have was taken from another culture. Zehoom Lo Hoya. They don't really exist. It's a stolen land. Yisalu liyos al susim. They became a nation where they rode upon horses. Malichim ash. What did they do? This refers to the time when they took the captives. They destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Nebuchadnezzar. He was a kasti, or at least his mother was a kasti. He was from a mixed marriage. That's the reason why. That's why Biladon hated Nebuchadnezzar, because Biladon was a Bavli, and he intermarried. He married a kasti. So Nebuchadnezzar was from a mixed marriage. He was from a mixed marriage, and therefore he did not like his son, because his son did not have pure blood from the Babylonians. He had part of his blood was from the Kasdim. So, but he went and he Nebuchadnezzar, they conquered the Jewish people. Shavuye Yisrael asurim chained b'koylorin in chains. Holchem kavodim alaritz. What?
Colors,
okay.
Slave
colors. But the word over here in the Rashi is bikolorin, a color. Holchem kavodim al aretz lifnei kiroinin shel kastim, before the wagons of the kastim, when they were taken to Bavel, to Golos, they walked on the ground. It was a march. It was a death march almost. If they swear, a lot of people did not survive the march from Yerushalayim to Babel. Those that survived were slaves.
They died from thirst and from hunger.
They died from thirst. Yeah, those they died from thirst and hunger, or from the difficulty of traveling on the road.
During the first Bais
Rishon, the Bais Rishon, right. And those who survived were slaves in Babel. Fine. This is the parish of Rashi. Let's now the Targum is very elaborate here. Pasuk Zayin. Okay, Omar. Shlomo Malka Baruch Nevuah. Shlomo Malka Mishamel says, I'm telling you something now that's going to happen in the future. Chazei si Amamo a nation, the Havo Mishtabdin min Kadmas Tinola Amo Beis Yisrael, nations that in the past were slaves to the Jewish people, Miskabrin, the time will come when they will prevail, V'rochbin al Susvon ki Arukoinin. He adds here one very important word. And they will ride, the day will come when they will ride on horses like an Arukoin. An Arukoin is a duke. Okay, an Arukoin is a...
Yeah, Harold, the prefix Ark is like... A-R-C-H, like Archbishop. Or
arch. Yeah, an arch. Someone who is a leader.
Like that in the Gemara and the Medrash, based on the Greek.
And Rashi, the Targum here is alluding to this idea that in ancient times, unless you were from the aristocracy, you did not have the authority, the permission to ride upon a horse. So it's a symbol, a sign of greatness. The Alma Beis Yisrael, the Rav Rivo Nehoin. Now here is another word. And the Jewish people and their princes, not just, that's a word, Vesadim, the Jews and the princes, they, Oslin, Hein, Ka'avdin, Al-Ara, they will walk like slaves on the ground. Eved Himlach, the whole Klal Yisrael, will be ruled. We know that Chom was cursed to be that his descendants, Eved, Avodim, Yele, Achiv. Who was Nebuchadnezzar? And Shase, from Shase came out?
No.
Chom was cursed. Chom was on Canaan, a descendant of Chom, a descendant of.
This curse is supposed to be eternally forever.
Forever.
Today there's still slavery, black slavery.
In parts of the world there is still slavery. In the United States,
there's actually more slaves now than any time in history.
He already says there are more slaves now than any time in history.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Which countries?
Yeah. More not.
In which countries?
Yeah. Saudi Arabia has tons of them.
A blacks? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Chom.
You have several hundred thousand.
They call it servitude.
Eved Himloy. Chom was meant to be Chom's descendant. Canaan was meant to be a slave to his other brothers. Eved Avodim Yihye Le'echof, to his brothers. And who Klal Yisrael are descendants of Shase. Nebuchadnezzar, he quotes here a Medrash, Nebuchadnezzar, Shinar, they are the Kazdim. The Kazdim are descendants of Canaan. The descendants of Canaan, and therefore they are meant to be the slaves, the Kazdim. What?
Kazdim are not Kesed. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm quoting over here. Haramban. He's quoting it from the Ramban.
Suel's brother.
I'm reading. Yeah, well, maybe it's not. Is it Haramban Allah Torah? Well, let's read what it says.
Kesed is Suel's brother.
No, it says not. This is what the Ramban says. The Ramban, Allah Torah and Bereishis Peragudapov, Yechofches Kosav, Shehakazdim, Vichol Eret Shinor, Heim Artsois, Bene Chom. Bene Chom. And Luchura Muchach, Kim Muchach, Mepsukim, Parish Noyach, Vimkain, he brings right from, I don't know, he brings Rais Psukim, Vimkain, Benastam, Nevuchanetza, therefore he says Benastam, this is the Ramban writing, was Melech Babel, Shehi Shinor, Hoyim, Mizerachom.
Right.
And yet, so therefore, Chum's seed should be, we're assuming, should be from Canaan. And doesn't connect the dots that it's Canaan, but he's making the assumption that Chum's Zera should be slaves to the seed of Shase. Klal Yisrael comes from Shame. And Nebuchadnezzar comes from Chum. So who should be a slave to who? Nebuchadnezzar should be a slave to Klal Yisrael.
So
and yet at the time of the Churban, the roles were reversed. Eved Yimloich,
so
the slave. That's part of the curse. That's part of the chait. It's part of the punishment for doing Averos.
That's
Esav. That's already going to the next generation. That's going to the Bais Sheni. That was fulfilled during the time of the Bais Sheni.
Yeah, but any time it happens, that's the reason it happens. That's what that's
So up to that point, they were slaves unto us.
Yeah, that's what it says. It's, but that's what it was meant to be.
Subservient.
They pay taxes. Shlomo Melech ruled the entire world. Melech Bekipa. The whole world had to pay tribute, had to pay homage to Shlomo Melech. So they were subservient. And here is the part of the curse is we are the Avodim. So this is how we tie Shlomo the Pasuk. The Avodim refers to the descendants of Chon. They are the Avodim of the Torah. And the Sodim refers to the descendants of shame. And here at the time of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, there was a terrible tragedy where it was reversed.
But not all children of Chom, only the descendants of Canaan.
Right, only the descendants of Canaan. Okay, let's do one more pasuk quickly. Choyfer gumat bo yipol pasuk ches, the person who digs a pit, bo yipol is deserving that he should fall in the pit. A person digs a pit, a person ultimately will be punished by his own evil deeds. They will come back, his evil deeds will come back to haunt him. Uforates goder, a person who breaches a fence, yeshchen nachash will be bitten by a snake. So let's see the different interpretations quickly. Pasuk ches in the Metzudos David. First is choifer gumat choifer bar sheipol boy hazul. The person digs a pit in order to trap someone else. Azai. It will happen. Hachoyfer atzmo yipol bo. Ultimately, the person who dug the pit to trap someone else will himself fall into that very trap. Ratzolaymar hamechin takol lechaveroi hu bi atzmo niskal bo. If you plan a trap for your friend, ultimately you will fall into that trap. Hashkocha pratis uforets goder hahoyets geder shel avonim leman yitzu achutza hanuchashim. A person he knocks down a wall in order that poisonous snakes. See, the Mitzvah here very nicely explains Shushal Mikra. What is this wall? It's not just a wall. This is a wall that serves as a barrier to prevent poisonous snakes from penetrating society. Because if you read the pasuk on a very simple level, what does a snake have to do with the wall? We can understand the first part of the pasuk, if you dig a pit, you'll fall into that very pit. But what does a snake have to do with knocking down a wall? The answer is you're in a zoo. And in the zoo there's a wall. And the wall is preventing this poisonous snakes from escaping. A person comes along and he knocks down the wall in order to terrorize this people. And now everyone is afraid they can be bitten by the poisonous snake. You know who's going to be bitten first, or will ultimately be bitten? The one that knocked down the wall. The one who knocked down the wall. Yetz leman yetz achutzah hanachashim hadadim nikve hachori, inside of the holes in the crevices of hageder v'azikul levnei adam. Guess what? Azai hanochash yishach es alchoris atzma. Who kavul in the milashonis? This is just poetic repetition of this theme. Rashi pasuk ches. Rashi says, "Achay v'gumatz shuche is a pit. Yibo yipol panim shuhu neifel bo kolaymar. Yeish l'cha choyresh ra. A person plans evil. Choyresh. We had this a couple of times. The word choyresh sometimes is used to mean plan. A machshava.
I don't plow.
What plow? Choyresh literally means plow, but homiletically it's used often in Chazal as a word for a thought. A thought. Choyresh. When you're thinking, it's plowing. Your mind is productive." You're plowing. Choresh ra v'soif v'lashuv olav. The end is that they will return and will boomerang upon him. V'soif shakola zara. Now he says something very, very interesting. I never came across this before when we learned the Daniel. Shakola zara shal v'vuchanetzer al yidei klei beis hamigdash shenemar. V'almoreh shemaya hisrei mamtim. It's really the end of the pasuk. Is that the same kelim that Nebuchadnezzar, the seed of Nebuchadnezzar's children were destroyed using the weapons or using the kelim? You have to really, I don't know the details, but on a very simple level, the Nebuchadnezzar looted the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, there were holy things. Let's talk about the Big Day Kahuna.
Right.
Okay, that's one interpretation. The Big Day Kahuna, he wore that. So his descendants, who was it?
Belshazzar.
He put on the Big Day Kahuna,
right.
And that Big Day Kahuna is what brought down his own downfall. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not happy. That's on a spiritual point and level. The wearing the Big Day Kahuna, the booty of the Beis HaMikdash, is what was instrumental in bringing down his...
Bragging. He was celebrating
the 70 years.
And so therefore they had no... According to him, Israel had no hope of returning.
Of no returning, that's according to him.
That celebration
is what aroused the anger in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring about his death, his assassination, by Koresh. Koresh was the one who came along and killed Belshazzar. But who killed Belshazzar? A servant.
Yeah, his nephew.
Who's his nephew?
They said, long live the, you know, as long as Daniel said the king was going to die, might as well get on with the new king. And he went to bed. They killed him in his sleep.
Okay, so this is the idea that the weapons that you steal from someone, the things that you steal from someone else, ultimately will bring down your own downfall. They probably
the simple example that the Malbim gives is Paro, Hayor Tashlihu, and he was
sets the
Kriyas Yamsuf. I mean, he brings out the simple.
The one that he saved, his own daughter is the
right.
One who went and took that baby that was thrown into the Yar.
Right. And ultimately, the Yamsuf is what the better point.
Correct.
Okay, that's the Daphne, right? That's the Daphne, all of those stories.
Yeah.
Okay, Poreitz Geder, now the next part of Rashi, Poreitz Geder, now here is something which is very popular idea, which a lot of the commentators elaborate very much. This is the Makar for making breaches in the Takanos of Chazal. It's a very popular topic in the 21st century, where unfortunately people are trying to be poreitz geder. The takanos, which are not biblical takanos, they're just Jewish custom. These are the way things have been done for 1,000 years, and they have very weak sources. It's just pretty much more or less it's tradition. You know, so sit over here. It's come, Sylvia. Let's come. Here, take. You have a chair over there? You have a chair? No, take this chair over here. Okay. Okay, have a nice day. I'll see you tomorrow. Poreitz Geder, so Rashi here, this is Poreitz, the Geder here refers to the Geder of Takonas Chazal. Siyog Shel Chachomim. La'avor al divrayem Yishchen Nochash. What is the Nochash? So Rashi here is something very scary. Misa Bidei Shemayim. Why is the Nochash called Misa Bidei Shemayim? Lufi Shedidir Belosha in Pritzas Geder. Because the first one to speak through the breaching of a fence was the Nachash. Lufi shadibir belushon pritzas geder. Hizkir b'tashlumin loshon neshichas Nachash. Shudar b'chorei nikvei kosle batim pritzim. Because a snake is something which lives in a wall. A snake lives in the holes of a wall. Now, I think Rashi is a little bit not clear on the Rashi, but Chava said to Chava, made a takana. The first one to make a takana was Chava. She said that not only are we not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas, we're not allowed to touch the Eitz Hadas. So Chava was a rabbi. She was from the first rabbinic figure. She enacted takonos. The Nachash, now you can learn this both ways. On the one hand, Chazal criticized Nachash, kol hamoisif goreya, but on the other hand, it was also a noble thing that she did. I mean, it has to be analyzed. Again, it's a two-way street. How to look at it, what Chava did. It was a noble thing. She went and she made a takana. But making a takana is what gave the Nachash the pischein peh. Because the Nachash said, there's no makar. Prove it to me. It's a pasuk. Where in the Torah does it say that you're not allowed to touch the Eitz Hadas? The only thing that it says is you're not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas. A takonas chazal is vulnerable. It's very weak. It's something which people who are looking to make trouble have success in breaching this fence. And once they get their hands in, that enables them to have a Pesach, then they go down the slippery slope. Before you turn around, they're doing things which are totally, who would ever imagine you would do such thing?
She said, "You're not allowed to touch." The doctor says, "Look, you touched it.
You touched, nothing happened. Nothing happened to you." So this is the Pischoin Pes. That's why we mentioned the Nochosh. Because the Nochosh and Chava were the first people to deal with this thing, to erect a fence. It's not just enough that you're not allowed to do something. There are additional safeguards. There is a fence. she created a fence. The Nachash, he went and he attacked the fence, not just the Ikar, because the fence is vulnerable, it's weak. And once he went and he was parried together, that gave him a Pesach to convince her to be over on the Ikar Hadavar, even the Eitz Hadas. And Chanan, I don't have to tell you, that's what's going on today. Today, in all, and go through history. The conservative movement, how did the conservative movement begin? How did it begin? What was the first takana they made? Yukim Purkin. Where does it say in the Torah to say Yukim Purkin? It's outdated.
That was the first thing they started making a brief.
Yeah, Yukim Purkin. Then the organ. What's so terrible to have an organ? The bima. Little things. These are things that you will have struggle very hard to show, to find the makar. Why? What's wrong? There's nothing really wrong. Well, you have to say Yukim Purkin. It's a tradition. Tradition to say Yukim Purkin. But when you're looking to make trouble, you're going to tell people the Mechal Shabbos. You're going to tell people that Torah is not in Hashemayim, they'll throw you out of shul. But if you start with the Yukim Purkin, you start with the Bima, and then you go to slide down the slippery slope, that gives you a Pesach. And this is exactly what is rooted to in this Pasuk, the Pirates go there, Yishchem, the one that is Pirates together, he will be the one that will ultimately be bitten by the snake. Okay, we'll do the Targum Mirz Hashem tomorrow. No, Adam did not tell Chava not to touch. No, it was Chava that invented the concept of not touching. Alright, I have two handouts. Continue from yesterday. Okay.
Rabbi says, "Bars together is Dina of Basrach, that she went out there with my sarats."
Who said?
I just read it.
Says what?
That Dina, Bars together is Dina of Basrach.
She was Bars together. She left. She left the ghetto.
Right.
She left the ghetto.
Yeah.